I know that my Redeemer liveth. What an incredible blessing. Thank you, Daniel and Andrea, for that beautiful rendition. That is the reason we are here, because our Redeemer lives. And because of that, God has given us the opportunity to be totally involved in proclaiming the message of God's last day proclamation. Everyone involved. It's a privilege to have all of you here, and we welcome you again. We've had a wonderful beginning to the annual council. Marvelous lead conference. I was so excited to see everyone talking and discussing. Many new friends were made. Thank you also to those who have put together the wonderful program last night, Council on Evangelism and Witness, which will continue this afternoon. Everyone, I hope, will be present at 1 o'clock for that very important meeting. We welcome all of you, our retirees and others. I saw Elder and Mrs. Paulson. We welcome you, Pastor Bediaco, several retired vice presidents. We welcome all of you. All of us together here for one particular purpose, and that is to glorify our Redeemer who lives and to proclaim that He is coming again. Total member involvement. But I want to tell you, we're living in a time of unprecedented change. God has asked His remnant people, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, to prepare the way of the Lord, to lean completely on Him and receive the power of the latter rain of the Holy Spirit. It is time for the final loud cry, the proclamation of the first, the second, and especially the third angel's messages. Christ has called us to be sowers of His word. He's called us to follow His example of service to others by proclaiming His truth and righteousness to the world, announcing His soon second coming. You see, members of this worldwide church of almost 19 million members are called to partner with the heavenly sower, Jesus Christ, in proclaiming His final message of love, righteousness, redemption, and last day prophetic warning heralding Christ's soon return. Everyone a sower. Now let's look at God's instructions. Practical evangelistic outreach based on the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, with plenty of references to both in our presentation this morning. Now, this sermon is going to resemble more of a learning symposium for all of us regarding total member involvement rather than a normal sermon per se. So let's learn together. I invite you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. In this passage, Jesus was speaking to thousands by the Sea of Galilee near the beautiful plain of Gennesaret. Now, the listeners could see on that plain and on the hillsides beyond the sowers and reapers who were busily casting seed and then harvesting the early grain. Jesus identified the truths of heaven using parables, with simple references to what was happening. It's a good example for us today. He shared the following parable with those in that vast Sea of Galilee audience and with us today, October 10, 2015, right here in this comfortable General Conference auditorium or wherever you may be watching. You see, Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9, tell us, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, what a privilege it is to hear the Word of God, to listen to its instruction, to understand its directives for living the victorious life through Christ's justifying and sanctifying power. You see, the Word of God is being ignored more and more these days. It's becoming fashionable to misinterpret, to misapply what is plainly indicated in Scripture. It is being reinterpreted by those who may have a higher critical approach to Scripture, by those who place themselves above the very Word of God. You see, we are to faithfully follow and promote the historical biblical method of interpreting Scripture, allowing the Bible to interpret itself line upon line and precept upon precept. As Seventh-day Adventists, we should carefully adhere to the document voted October 12, 1986, at the annual council held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. You see, this document, Methods of Bible Study, carefully outlines how to study God's holy word. We are to follow the historicist view of prophecy and biblical understanding. Now, I want to speak very plainly to each of you, pastors, teachers, administrators, church elders, leaders, members, young people. Don't let anyone turn you from the historicist understanding and the historical biblical interpretation of Scripture. Stand firm for God's Word. Now, note the following instructions that are given to us from the Spirit of Prophecy about accepting the Bible as it reads. And we're going to look at a number of quotations. Bear with me as we do this. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 171. God requires more of his followers than many realize. If we would not build our hopes of heaven upon a false foundation, we must accept the Bible as it reads and believe that the Lord means what he says. Evangelism, page 239. Many become decided transgressors of God's holy law as the result of union, concord, and cooperation with companions who are the instruments of Satan. God sends them light to undeceive them. Now, that's an interesting phrase I found in the Spirit of Prophecy. To undeceive them, but they refuse to take the Word of God as it reads. Councils to Teachers, page 353. He is seeking to teach them that the Lord's way is always to be closely followed, that his word is to be taken as it reads, and that men are not to devise and plan according to their own judgment, irrespective of his counsel. And another one, Prophets and Kings, a marvelous book, page 185. Many do not hesitate to sneer at the Word of God. What is this word? Whose word is this? Sneering at the Word of God. Those who believe it just as it reads are ridiculed. Let's have ears that hear the Word of God. Minds that will accept the Word of God in its plainest forms as it reads. Now, what did Jesus want the disciples and us to understand about everyone being a sower of this precious truth in the Word of God? He went on to explain the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, verses 14 to 20, as was read by GT in our scripture reading this morning. Now, verse 14, the sower sows the word. Matthew 13, 37 indicates that the sower of the good seed was the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He came not as a king, but as a sower, pointing to a great harvest that would result after challenging difficulties. You know, what a marvelous ending we had to that lead conference when we watched that film about the harvest. And all of us are part of the harvest, the final harvest. But there will be difficulties and challenges. You see, Jesus left his heavenly home to sow the Word of God on this earth. We are to partner with him as sowers of the Word, of the truth. Christ's Object Lessons, that marvelous book that we are reading in Believe His Prophets, pages 36 and 37, it says the following: His servants in like manner must go forth to sow. So those who are called to unite with Christ must leave all in order to follow him. Old associations must be broken up, plans of life relinquished, earthly hopes surrendered. In toil and tears, in solitude and through sacrifice, must the seed be sown. You see, we're told everyone is a sower of the word. Total member involvement in the last proclamation of this precious Advent message. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, the seed to be sown is the word of God. Now, seeds have incredible germinating capability. There is life in God's Word. Christ's Object Lessons, again, page 38, indicates the following: in every command and in every promise of the Word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. Page 37. Those who study the Word of God with open hearts, open to the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, will not remain in darkness as to the meaning of the word. On page 39, in the days of Christ, the rabbis put a forced mystical construction upon many portions of Scripture. Because the plain teaching of God's Word condemned their practices, they tried to destroy its force. The same thing is done today. The Word of God is made to appear mysterious and obscure in order to excuse transgression of His law. Christ rebuked these practices in His day. He taught that the Word of God was to be understood by all. He pointed to the Scriptures as of unquestionable authority, and we should do the same. You see, every pastor, every teacher, every member is to participate in helping all to become ardent students of the Word of God and then to share it. Verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, the precious word of God falls on inattentive ears, hearers, like a hard pathway that has no depth. People hear, but they don't understand. Satan stands ready to snatch the truth from those who are not attentive and to neutralize the effects of God's word. But Christ is always present to guard his people. Verses 16 and 17. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, this seed cannot find deep soil to grow and to root. Selfishness in the heart takes control, and the heart is not humbled under an understanding of guilt for sin. Self is trusted more than connection with Christ. Since the roots do not go deep into the soil of communion with Christ every day, persecution and temptation take their toll. Christ's Object Lessons, pages 48 to 50, indicates the following. Many feel a sense of estrangement from God, a realization of their bondage to self and sin. They make efforts for reform, but they do not crucify self. True holiness is wholeness in the service of God. This is the condition of true Christian living. He who lives to himself or to herself is not a Christian. Love must be the principle of action, and love will be revealed in sacrifice. For his sake, we shall covet pain and toil and sacrifice. How many of us actually covet that? Pain and toil and sacrifice. We shall feel the same tender craving for souls that he has felt. This is the religion of Christ. No mere theory of truth or profession of discipleship will save any soul. We do not belong to Christ unless we are his wholly or completely. It is by half-heartedness in the Christian life that men become feeble in purpose and changeable in desire. The effort to serve both self and Christ makes one a stony ground hearer, and he will not endure when the test comes upon him. My brothers and sisters here at this annual council, stay close to God, and I speak to myself, let us resist becoming stony ground hearers. Verses 18 and 19. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Brothers and sisters, this is why revival and reformation are so important in our lives. If we are not preparing the soil for the reception of the seeds of truth, weeds and thorns can choke out the precious word of God. The cares of this world can take such prominence in our lives that we scarcely comprehend God's messages to us. Again, in that book, Christ's Object Lessons, page 50, grace can thrive only in the heart that is being constantly prepared for the precious seeds of truth. The thorns of sin will grow in any soil. They need no cultivation, but grace must be carefully cultivated. It is so important that we stay close to the Lord through Bible study, through the study of the spirit of prophecy, and constant prayer. That's why believe his prophets is so important. Reading a chapter a day in the Bible. Did you read your chapter today? By God's grace, I did. I hope you did as well. Reading portions of the spirit of prophecy as part of our daily growth. Be part of the worldwide initiative of United in Prayer. Last night we heard about it. The pages were imploring us to be part of this. Don't allow the word of God to be choked out with thorns. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What a privilege to allow the word of God to penetrate our hearts and then to share it with others who in turn will grow and share it with yet others. Everyone a sower. Those who are represented by the good ground are those who have a believing heart and a faith in the word of God. Again, Christ's object lessons 59 and 60. It indicates the following. A knowledge of the truth depends not so much upon strength of intellect as upon pureness of purpose, the simplicity of an earnest, dependent faith. To those who in humility of heart seek for divine guidance, angels of God draw near. Can you imagine in your private room this morning, as you were opening the word of God, angels were hovering around you? The Holy Spirit is given to those who are looking for the rich treasures of the truth. The good ground hears, having heard the word, keep it. Satan, with all his angels of evil, is not able to catch it away. Our part is to receive God's word and to hold it fast, yielding ourselves fully to its control, and its purpose in us will be accomplished. What a powerful promise. Claim it. God intends that all of us will be good ground hearers. People who trust so implicitly in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to make us more and more like him. He intends for us to be understudies to him in being sowers of truth. We are to be encouraged that there will be many who will listen as we sow and will receive the word of God as good ground hearers. This is our great privilege. We are all to be sowers of the word. Everyone a sower. Total member involvement in the last great proclamation of this message. This past 2015 General Conference session, we had a great theme. Arise, shine. Jesus is coming. I want to tell you that theme must be the foundation of all we do as we move forward into this new quinquennium that is filled with so much uncertainty. However, it is equally and in a greater way filled with God's abiding presence and his leading. God is calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church for a unique last-day purpose and mission as participants with the heavenly sower. This church was initiated by God himself at the right time, in the right place, and for the right reason, to fulfill Revelation 12:17, a people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is with quiet respect and humility that all are to be sowers for God as we lean completely on him for his guidance and leading. Let's commit ourselves to following God's instructions in his precious word and his spirit of prophecy, to daily walking with him in Bible study and prayer as we allow him to work in us for revival and reformation. During this quinquennium, under the direction of the Revival and Reformation Committee, we will focus on a very personal approach to this vital subject shown throughout Scripture and the Spirit of Prophecy. Revival and Reformation. You, your family, your church, your community. We're on the edge of eternity. God wants to work in and through us as sowers of his word. Take this call from God very personally and seriously. Revival and reformation is a constant foundation for all that the Lord wants to do through his remnant church in proclaiming the three angels' messages and turning people back to the true worship of God. You see, in this context of revival and reformation, you, your family, your church, your community, we will expand the vital outreach of mission to the cities, accompanied by comprehensive health ministry. You heard about it this morning, a part of what comprehensive health ministry means. Massive publication and media outreach, and so many other departmental and institutional initiatives. Within the Reach the World strategic and evangelistic outreach of sowing God's word, let me expand the following three areas of focus that I shared at the General Conference session just a few weeks ago. First of all, Christ and his righteousness as the core of the three angels' messages. Secondly, faithfulness to God, his word, and in everything we do and say. Thirdly, total member involvement in witnessing and evangelism. First of all, Christ and his righteousness, recognizing the centrality of Christ's grace and sacrifice for us, for you and for me. His grace and righteousness that provides us with eternal life. Christ said in John 12, verse 32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Let us commit ourselves at this end time to lift up Christ, his love, his word, his righteousness, his sanctuary service, his saving power in the great controversy, his seventh-day Sabbath, his prophetic messages, his spirit of prophecy instruction, his three angels' messages, his health message, his last-day mission to the world, and his soon second coming. You see, Christ and his righteousness must permeate our lives and everything we do. We are totally dependent on our relationship with him and his ability to provide eternal life. Seventh-day Adventists must be the greatest proclaimers of Christ, our righteousness. Secondly, faithfulness to God. God is faithful to us. Through his power, let's respond in faithfulness to him. He calls us to be faithful in our personal relationship with him, faithful to his word, faithful in Bible study, faithful in the study of the spirit of prophecy, faithful in our constant prayer life. In a world filled with ever-increasing violence, I tell you, week after week, you think things might calm down. They don't. Killings on campuses. Killings in cities. Horrible violence filling the earth. Bombings, shootings, tragic deaths all over this globe. Let us be faithful to God's plan of restoration at his soon second coming. Revelation 2:10 tells us, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." Let's be faithful in understanding our unique role in proclaiming the three angels' messages and participating in the loud cry of the third angel. Faithful in sharing the unique role given to the Advent movement. Faithful in our family relationships according to Bible standards and truth. Faithful in our Christian stewardship. Faithful in Sabbath school and church attendance. And faithful in sharing Christ with others. What a powerful witness I heard this morning, as you did in Sabbath school, when one of those young ladies was saying, "You know, you can watch the church service on television, but you miss the fellowship." The world is awash in existential behavior. People think everything is relative. Well, it's just up to you. It is not. There are absolutes. and they are found in the Word of God and our faithful adherence to the Word. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 shares with us, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Seventh-day Adventists, be faithful to God. Amen. Thirdly, total member involvement in witnessing and in evangelism. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, something we just looked at yesterday as we closed our lead conference. It challenges us with the truth that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. James chapter 1, verse 25, admonishes us to be a doer of the work. You see, John 9, 4 shares the urgency of what we are to do, being doers of the Word of God. John 9, 4 says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." I want to address, and probably most of them are not here. They may be watching, and they may be hearing, and they may read. I want to address our lay members. I challenge you to become involved in the daily mission of the church far more than you ever have been before. Everyone a sower. The current Seventh-day Adventist strategic plan, Reach the World, challenges us with the objective, and it's right in there if you read it, to engage all church members, pastors, and leadership in full partnership, pastors and lay members, young and old, are to work together in soul winning. We are counting on you. God is counting on you. Evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. All of us are to be involved in it, either through personal witnessing, small group evangelism, public evangelism in its various forms, even if you think it won't work in your area. Adapt your methods, but reach out. Do something for Jesus. Every effort under God's guidance to reach the hearts of people will bear fruit. Evangelism is not dead. It is alive more than ever before. God is in it. It is his plan. He will bless it. Weren't you thrilled by Pastor Finley's excited and animated understanding of what it is last night that evangelism is all about? We are part of it. Church members, leaders, we are to work hand in hand for mission outreach. The following instruction is absolutely critical in everyone being a sower of God's Word. Let's read it. Testimonies, volume 9, page 116. And this is powerful. It was referred to this section this morning in our Sabbath school. If you want something really powerful to read, read that chapter. And read pages 116, 117. Unbelievable. The leaders in God's cause, that is you and me, we're here at an annual council, as wise generals are to lay plans for advance moves all along the line. In their planning, they are to give special study to the work that can be done by the laity for their friends and neighbors. The work of God, and this is the quote that Duane used this morning. Fix it in your minds. If you remember nothing else from this sermon and presentation, remember this quote and coupling it with Mark chapter 4. The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. Church members, let the Holy Spirit revolutionize your thinking. Take the church's mission of outreach into your hands, and on a daily basis, working closely with church leaders and pastors. Let it be total participation. No one left out. Everyone a missionary. Do something for Jesus and for others. Don't just look inward and criticize your local church and its activities. Reach out to others for Christ. Don't let anyone say, you are not needed. The Holy Spirit will empower you as heaven's messenger to your neighborhood. Work closely with your pastor, local church, and conference. Revival and reformation will become something personal and real. That marvelous volume, Testimonies for the Church, Volume 9, which I just shared with you, tells about our special work in total member involvement. Now, here are just a few key phrases I want you to place in your mind in a very powerful way. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given us to proclaim to the world. Let us remember that a Christ-like life is the most powerful argument that can be advanced in favor of Christianity. Men will believe not what the minister preaches, but what the church lives. Christ's work is to be our example. His life was one of unselfish service, and it is to be our lesson book. Wherever we see work waiting to be done, we are to take it up and do it, constantly looking unto Jesus. If every church member were a living missionary, the gospel would speedily be proclaimed in all countries, to all peoples, nations, and tongues. God's people are to be so earnest and faithful in their work for Him that all selfishness will be separated from their lives. I want to tell you that's an indictment on me. How about you? Selfishness. Seeking to make yourself more comfortable. Let's ask the Lord to separate it from our lives. His workers will then see eye to eye. We've talked about the challenges we faced. We spoke yesterday about the harvest being ready and how we are to approach the harvest together. When the selfishness in our own minds and hearts are taken away, His workers will then see eye to eye, and the arm of the Lord, the power of which was seen in the life of Christ, will be revealed. Confidence will be restored, and there will be unity in the churches throughout our ranks. It is not learned, eloquent speakers that are needed now. This is words from the Spirit of prophecy. Let's not say that speaking in public is not important. It is. But listen to what is really important. Humble, Christ-like men and women who have learned from Jesus of Nazareth to be meek and lowly, and who, trusting in His strength, will go forth into the highways and hedges to give the invitation, come. For all things are now ready. Another beautiful thought here. Those who have the spiritual oversight of the church, that is most of you right here. You are the supervisors of God's church. This is speaking to us today. Those who have the spiritual oversight of the church should devise ways and means by which an opportunity may be given to every member of the church to act some part in God's work. Total member involvement. Jesus is coming soon. Lift that banner high and share it in a practical way, pointing those around you to the one who has given us salvation and who has promised to take us home soon. We need a total empowerment of lay people and pastors carrying the burden of the church's evangelistic and mission outreach to the cities and to the rural areas. This is our work of sowing, entrusted to us from heaven itself. All of us working together in total member involvement under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Testimonies, Volume 7, pages 9 and 10. The transforming power of Christ's grace molds the one who gives himself to God's service, imbued with the spirit of the Redeemer. Can you imagine? We just heard that beautiful song, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." George Handel composing such an incredible piece of music. My Redeemer lives, and we can be imbued with the spirit of the Redeemer. Incredible. He is ready to deny self, ready to take up the cross, ready to make any sacrifice for the Master. The Christian has no desire to live for self. You see, the Christian delights to consecrate all that he has and is to the Master's service. He is moved by an inexpressible desire to win souls to Christ. Those who have nothing of this desire might better be concerned for their own salvation. Let them pray for the spirit of service. Total member involvement. Every member a missionary. Let everyone get involved in soul winning. All can share personally, and many, including lay members, can preach the Word of God in public meetings. It is time to challenge all of us to a renewed emphasis on evangelistic outreach, telling pastors to go into new fields to evangelize, and that lay people will take care of the churches and assist the pastor in outreach. As world leaders assembled here this morning, I want to challenge you personally. I want to challenge you to hold public evangelistic meetings every year. You might say, "Oh, I'm too busy. I've got, do you know how many boards that I have to attend? Do you know how many activities I'm involved with? Do you know how much travel I have to carry out?" Yes, I know. I'm challenging you this morning. In the name of the Lord, hold public evangelistic meetings or outreach events every year. Find time to tell others about Jesus. Let's set an example. People watch us. Don't be fooled. Sometimes they wonder what we do. They see we're flying around a lot and we must be, you know, part of the jet set and everything's just great. They don't know the challenges we do face as we travel. But let's not get so caught up in traveling, attending meetings, and talking to ourselves that we don't set an example of total member involvement and reaching out to people in the public. I pledge myself to hold an evangelistic meeting every year this quinquennium. Next year, Rwanda. 2017, Romania. 2018, Japan. Pastor Shimada, we're coming to help. God will use his many people around the world to boost our great church in Japan. We're with you. 2019, India. 2020, Papua New Guinea, and I will assist in an evangelistic meeting that we will plan for Indianapolis. Probably a number of evangelistic meetings. I'll look to Mark Finley and others to help guide us in that, just as we did in San Antonio. In addition, the Wilson family is participating in some alternate church growth. Just Thursday evening, by God's grace, as I left the auditorium, and actually everything worked out just beautifully, I got into the car, went home, and raced up to Hagerstown, Maryland. And I arrived 30 minutes after our 10th grandchild was born. Precious little Hannah Grace. Hannah Grace Rank. We have 5 grandsons, 5 granddaughters. Beautiful family. Some people have asked, well, where's Nancy been? Well, Nancy has been busy. The last few weeks or days, she's been taking care of 4 of our grandchildren from one part of the family, and then she's been up in Hagerstown. I want to tell you, what a blessing to have God working in our families. By His grace, that is your first mission field. If you're out holding evangelistic meetings and your children are wandering around, you better go home and start with them. Love them. Nurture them. Encourage them. And brothers and sisters, leaders, as we look to the future, let us allow our lay people to take even stronger measures of involvement in the local church, and pastors to go out into other fields to reach those who have no word. No precious truth. Listen to what Evangelism, pages 381 and 383 say. Ellen White was revealing something very interesting. And she was speaking, "As I traveled through the South," now that's the United States, "on my way to the conference, I saw city after city that was unworked. What is the matter? The ministers are hovering over churches which know the truth, while thousands are perishing without or out of Christ. If the proper instruction were given, if the proper methods were followed, every church member would do his work as a member of the body. He would do Christian missionary work. But the churches are dying, and they want a minister to preach to them. Instead of keeping the ministers at work for the churches that already know the truth, let the members of the churches say to these laborers, go work for souls that are perishing in darkness. We ourselves will carry forward the services of the church. We will keep up the meetings, and by abiding in Christ, we'll maintain spiritual life. We will work for souls that are about us, and we will send our prayers and our gifts to sustain the laborers in more needy and destitute fields. Our ministers should plan wisely as faithful stewards. They should feel that it is not their duty to hover over the churches already raised up, but that they should be doing aggressive evangelistic work, preaching the word and doing house-to-house work in places that have not yet heard the truth. Let the whole earth be filled with His glory. The responsibility rests upon every individual. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Another quotation. Manuscript 61, 1909. "The world is preparing for the closing work of the third angel's message. The truth is now to go forth with a power that it has not known for years." 2015, my brothers and sisters, how much longer are we going to stay on this earth? We want the message to go with power. "The truth is now to go forth with a power that it has not known for years. The message of present truth is to be proclaimed everywhere." Testimonies, Volume 7, 18 to 24. "We have a message from the Lord to bear to the world, a message that is to be born in rich fullness of the Spirit's power. The greatest help that can be given our people is to teach them to work for God. And to depend on Him, not on the ministers. Let them learn to work as Christ worked. Let them join His army of workers and do faithful service for Him. The Lord has presented before me the work that must be done in our cities. That's a pretty powerful statement whenever she says, I was shown, or the work has been presented before me. The believers in these cities can work for God in the neighborhoods of their homes. It is not the Lord's purpose that ministers should be left to do the greatest part of the work of sowing the seeds of truth. Hundreds of men and women now idle could do acceptable service by carrying the truth to the homes of their friends and neighbors. They could do a great work for the Master. God is no respecter of persons. He will use humble, devoted Christians, even if they have not received so thorough an education as some others. Let such ones engage in... And this is really interesting. This is really a powerful ending to this. Let such ones engage in service for Him by doing house-to-house work, sitting by the fireside or in the living room. They can, if humble, discreet, and godly, now this is lay people, do more to meet the real needs of families than could an ordained minister. The formation of small companies as a basis of Christian effort has been presented to me by one who cannot err, and that is God Himself. In humble dependence upon God, families are to settle in the waste places of His vineyard. Not to congregate. You know, we like to congregate. Silver Spring, Tacoma Park, Berrien Springs, Salisbury Park, Loma Linda, Manila, wherever it is. Don't encourage our people to congregate. Send them into the waste places. Self-supporting missionaries are often very successful. People who go on their own because they are impelled. Beginning in a small, humble way, their work enlarges as they move forward under the guidance of the Spirit of God. Nothing is so successful as success. Let this be secured by persevering effort, and the work will move forward. New fields will be opened. Many souls will be brought to a knowledge of the truth. What is needed is increased faith in God. Now, listen to this from Christian Service, 22 to 23. Remember, I told you, this is not exactly a sermon. This is a presentation, a symposium on what God wants to do through lay people and pastors united. The work which the disciples did, we also are to do. Every Christian is to be a missionary. God's faithful people have always been aggressive missionaries. We heard last night, Judith. Now, if anyone is aggressive in missionary work, I'd say Judith is. Gates open before her prayers. It's amazing. Consecrating their resources to the honor of His name and wisely using their talents in His service. To every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, the tidings of pardon through Christ are to be carried. Not with tame, lifeless utterances is the message to be given, but with clear, decided, stirring utterances. Hundreds are waiting for the warning to escape for their lives. The world needs to see in Christians an evidence of the power of Christianity, not merely in a few places, but throughout the world. Messages of mercy are needed. I want to take just a few moments, and we're going to look at some interesting observations, short videos, from three young members from Brazil who have made an impact in total involvement for the Lord. In reality, these young people could be anyone from the 13 world divisions and our attached union, all with powerful lay witnesses for the Lord in every territory. But let's look at these for a moment. Andressa, a 13-year-old young lady, became a mighty example of total member involvement. Let's watch.
On Sundays, I go to the radio station and I start with a devotional. And there's a segment for children where I tell Bible stories. On Mondays, in the morning, I go to school. And in the afternoon, we do a lot of missionary work. On Tuesdays, I visit the nursing home. There we sing, play, and pray. Some of the people there are lonely, and they sometimes open up to us. On Wednesdays, we meet at my house to make crafts that we can sell. And that's good because the people in this group don't have a lot of money. On Thursdays, in the afternoon, I preach to the children in my home. In the evening, on Thursdays, we go to the homes of some of the church members and play serenades for them. On Fridays, I scheduled a small group of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is really interesting because a lot of the prayer requests we've made were answered because prayer is powerful. On Saturdays, I wake up earlier and invite some children to go to the church with me. This is what my week is like.
Her schedule can intimidate grown-ups. Despite her age, it would seem as if she's done more than people who are older. Her first contact with the church was through her grandmother and a small group.
I would like to create a small group of Bible studies, but before that, I need to get baptized. I need to give my life to Jesus so the children that I will teach will also follow my example.
It didn't take long for her to start her project.
On the following Saturday, I was baptized, and on the next Thursday, I started my group. And after that, the number of children started to increase. First with 10, then 20, 25, and today we have 45 children.
And the results were tremendous.
So many children left the small group in order to create their own small group.
Andresa showed me I could create my own small group. And I believed and created the small group. The small group is like a family to me. Everybody should create a small group. It's an extension of the church. It's an extension from God.
17 children and 3 parents were baptized.
New members, new life, and new examples. What a difference a small group can make.
Jesus is coming. He is showing us the signs, the prophecies. They are being fulfilled. If we do not do our part now, maybe tomorrow time will run out.
That was a little while ago. It was a little while ago when that was taped, because time did run out. On Sabbath, March 22, 2008, at 7:15 in the morning, Pelotas, Rio Grande do Sol, at the end of Easter week, while Andresa was going to preach at her church, her car collided with a truck. In this collision, 4 women died, including Andresa, who was 14 years old. She accomplished a lot more in her short life than most of us can even imagine. More than 100 people were baptized because of her witness, and countless others were inspired by her example. And one of those that Andresa inspired was Vittoria. Look at what happened to Vittoria when she was engaged in total member involvement with young people in a small group ministry. Andresa's life, although short-lived, has inspired many of the people that she came in contact with. Among these is Vittoria, who heard Andresa's testimony and decided to devote all she had to God's message. The attentive eyes and the shy smile, all hide her pain.
Bullosa refers to the blisters in the skin, and dystrophic refers to the loss of function of body parts. Part of one's body starts to atrophy until it loses its function. I know some children that have already lost their hand. Their hand is closed up, and the fingers are the only part they are able to move. My pain bothers me. My body hurts a lot when I bump into something. When I run or even take a shower, it hurts.
The daily routine is very difficult. For me, the hardest part is when she gets up from her bed and tells me, "Mom, I couldn't sleep at all last night because my blisters were hurting so much." And I ask her, "Why didn't you wake me up?" And she explains, "I didn't call you because I can sleep or rest anytime I feel tired during the day. But you, Mom, you have a lot of things to do. You have to take care of the house and my siblings. You have other people to take care of. That's why I don't wake you up. I want you to rest to take care of us."
All the suffering makes her more mature.
The doctors say there's no cure, but I know that God can cure me.
Vittoria survived even after all the diagnoses that estimated that she was going to die 2 months after her birth. Today, she is 14 years old and followed the example of Andressa, who died at the same age she is now.
I was worried about her. I was afraid they could accidentally hurt her and it could cause a problem to her. So I explained it to her and she told me, "Mom, I am going to take care of myself. I know because due to my illness, I can't play outside at the soccer field or to ride a bike with them or anything else they do, but it's a great opportunity for me to interact with them at our house."
We have to speak, and it's easy. I know now that it's easy to spread the God's love. It doesn't hurt at all.
Vittoria wasn't able to go out and invite the kids, so she gave this task to her siblings.
First, we welcome them. We have the devotional songs. Then we sing. We play more dynamic games with them. We tell Bible stories. And then we study the lesson. And we end the day with the prayer. In the beginning, I also thought everything was difficult. Before, I would always say, "Playing and walking is too difficult because I can hurt myself. How am I able to walk then? I can lose function on my legs if I don't exercise. I have to walk to do something." And I thought it was really hard. But when we try and we ask for God's help, it's easy. With God's help, it's easy.
Inspired by the small group with almost 30 children, the adults have created a prayer group. Now they have a small group too. The responsibility is so much that Vittoria invited two friends to help her, especially when she needs to be hospitalized to get the blood transfusions, which are frequent.
Even though we have to go through hardships, we have to keep moving. We just can't complain all the time.
She doesn't seem to have a hardship.
We forget she has it, because even though she has the illness, she's just like us.
There's so much difference now. Before the group, she was feeling depressed. One day, she even asked me, "Mom, do you think it's a sin to ask God to make me sleep forever?" So then she was giving up her life in this world. But after she started, the small group with the children, she has strength. Now she asks God to live to see another day.
God doesn't give us anything we can't stand. Everyone who has a hardship has it because God knows the person can stand it. I have this illness, and I know I can deal with it with God's help. Even with my limitations, I try my best, and I'm better because God is helping me.
He can help everyone. So I'd like to ask you to work, to talk to your friends.
Victoria's dedication and commitment is absolutely amazing. But let me tell you about Mateus, a young boy that witnessed his parents become very active church members after their baptism. And they would hold Bible studies with their friends. He heard that in heaven, everyone will get one star on their crown for each person they bring to Jesus. So Mateus invited two of his friends to find people to study the Bible with. Their first Bible study was to a whole family, and all the family decided to be baptized. Watch how God, in the next few moments, just watch how God has used Mateus in total member involvement.
Mateus Suarez is 9 years old. From a young age, he was challenged by his church family to bring people to Christ.
What I like the most is to work in the church. I have the habit of visiting people. I ask them why they are not coming to church. Or when a person is not yet baptized, I will visit to invite them to church. Then we end our visit with a warm goodbye, and I move on to another house. In a single day, I can visit about 3 people.
At the young age of 9, Mateus has given Bible studies to families and individuals and has brought many to the baptismal waters, but he longs for more.
I'm in charge of the children's department, audiovisual, and personal ministries. And when I grow up, I want to be a pastor.
Today, Mateus is 15 years old and is attending an Adventist high school in preparation for pastoral ministry. At Fa'ama, he gets a quality Christian education and the opportunity to preach during special events and at daily worship meetings to dormitory students. When Mateus arrived at Fa'ama, he looked for individuals to study the Bible with so he could continue to follow Jesus' invitation to mission through one-on-one Bible study.
If God said, go to all the world, we need to go into all the world. Although there are a lot of places where the gospel is not allowed, Jesus affirms us that even if we die for him, one day we will live with him. And if you are faithful unto death, he will give you the crown of life.
Mateus has led approximately 979 people to the baptismal waters. His goal, as of right now, is to reach 1,000 people by the end of 2015. Now, that is total member involvement. 3 examples, 3 young people who could be taken from any of our divisions around the world. I want to tell you, as we see the end time approaching, let us renew our efforts to be involved in all that God intends for his remnant church to be in. Every member involved in lifting up and sharing Christ, his word, his righteousness, his sanctuary service, his saving power in the great controversy, his 3 angels' messages, his health message, his last day mission to the world, and his soon second coming. Soon we will look up and see Jesus appearing in the clouds of heaven. As he said he would, he will come to take us home. The culmination of his redemptive work using every willing follower to reach the world. What a glorious result to his work of righteousness through us in participating with heaven to share this saving Advent message. I appeal to each of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be part of total member involvement. The latter rain of the Holy Spirit is approaching, and with it the great proclamation to every person on this earth in anticipation of Christ's soon return. By Christ's grace, let's be a part of it. If you wish to commit to God's last day proclamation of the 3 angels' messages using every possible means in total member involvement, would you stand with me right now? Let's be faithful to God's great commission as we remain standing during this commitment song, this powerful musical appeal from our trio about God's faithfulness to work through us to accomplish his task entrusted to his church to reach the world. Great is thy faithfulness.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.